Okay. Well, Ellen, thank you very much. That is a tremendous amount of work to do something like that. But I think overall, and I think this you'll see this in this talk as well, kind of from where we were into the next round of this stuff. So I'm going to run through a bunch of slides very, very quickly. I'll put them up on the net after I'm done. I would like to put them up in PDF, but you know the world is full of all kinds of troubles, so generating the PDF was not easy. So I'll put it up in PowerPoint with apologies. What I'd like to do is talk about the current status of Gini, and then go a little bit out on a limb and talk about what the GPO is proposing as a result of the Gini Solicitation 2, and including, I'll talk about both these things, additional instrumentation, security, and so forth, and what I'm calling mesoscale prototyping, and then get into Spiral 2 proper. I'd like to thank the NETC Council. I don't think this is the exact right list of people now, but they have done a tremendous amount of work on pulling together the research agenda. More or less in parallel with this, the infrastructure people have been busy trying to figure out and design this programmable, virtualized, and federated infrastructure, suite of infrastructure, that we're calling Gini. We're getting near the last time you will ever have to see this slide. Well, maybe not, but for those of you who are following, Spiral 1 ran from October 1st, 2008 through October 1st, hasn't quite ended yet, 2009. So you are here. We're approaching the end of Spiral 1. And ideally, at this point, we would be starting to use the suites of infrastructure, the prototypes in Spiral 1, because that's how spiral development works. You know, you actually try to use it. And the way you try to use Gini is you try running experiments on it. And we're starting to see that in a few of the clusters, but that's going to be a very big emphasis going forward into Spiral 2, which, by the way, will run from the next October 1st to October 1st modulo. I'm not sure exactly how that changeover date works. So that's going to be Spiral 2. We've still got a couple months left in Spiral 1. We've been saying for quite a while, maybe 5 years now since the planning group, that Gini views a fundamentally federated architecture in which different organizations own and operate different parts of the infrastructure, which are then somehow glued together to form this overarching thing. At this point, you know, we can start saying, well, what kind of stuff is being glued together? And so the Spiral 1 stuff ranges from what I would consider fairly, you know, core, absolutely, surely, in there technologies like optical switching, programmable routers, cluster computers, and so forth, through things that I believe many people believe are large parts of the future global communications network, distributed pervasive sensing systems, vehicular access all the time, kind of large-scale wireless, and so forth. So this is actually a very hard challenge to glue all this stuff together, right? Because these are very disparate kinds of technology, and it's all being done by research prototyping groups, which is by no means easy. We're very fortunate to have Internet 2 and National Lambda Rail in this act, both dedicating resources, donating resources to this, but more importantly, their expertise. These are people who own and operate systems over long periods of time, and that's going to be very, very important going forward as we begin to get this prototype infrastructure up and running more steadily. Okay, last little bit of rehash. Just for those of you who haven't quite started your homework yet, Spiral 1 has two things that it's trying to demonstrate. One is that there really are control frameworks that can control this great variety of different things, from radios through optical switches through cluster computers and so on. That's been hypothesized in Gini, but it's never been demonstrated. And goal number two is, can we create end-to-end slices across a range of technology? So we have to be able to demonstrate both these things in Spiral 1, because you have to be able to do both these things to do this kind of genie vision. Okay, well, there's some really good news for those of you who went around and looked at the demos yesterday. So several clusters are now demonstrating in very early form both these things. All right, so a little bit ahead of the end of Spiral 1, people are starting to show control frameworks that can actually control quite a wide range of different things. And in the earliest form, beginning to show how you can create these end-to-end slices that can convey IP if you want, or can convey things that are totally non-IP if you don't like IP. So at least several of the clusters are now really starting to demonstrate this stuff in the earliest days. Okay, simultaneously on kind of the program front, we've been conducting annual reviews. We've been sitting down together. We brought together the clusters, actually physically, people came to Cambridge, Massachusetts. We sat down together and we went through things. So we got a shared understanding of where every project is. And I would imagine over the summer, most projects are going to kind of try to make a push to get through their Spiral 1 goals and really achieve what they're trying to achieve by next October. On Wednesday, I'm going to talk pretty specifically about how next year's funding and so on is going to work, how these reviews lead in to the next round of funding decisions. But we do expect to exercise most of the options so that most projects going forward, I think, will have good levels of funding. Okay, so this is kind of a recap. It's time, if you're actually in one of these groups that has put this together, to stand back and think, well, you now have the very first version of something quite new, kind of up and running, right? It's really kind of up and running in demo mode at the moment. But these things are actually beginning to come together. And they're the kind of thing that we haven't ever seen before. So this is a kind of a new kind of suite of infrastructure that's now coming into shape. Okay, so let me quickly go through the second solicitation. And I have fine print, which I'm going to put on every slide to which this applies. So I'm telling you what the GPO has proposed to NSF. So we went through, we evaluated all kinds of proposals. We in turn wrote a proposal, we submit it to NSF. There's no guarantee at all that this will be funded. NSF might reject it, might refund it, fund it in its entirety, might go anywhere in between. But I thought it was important to say, this is kind of what we're thinking, this is how we think Spiral 2 is going to unfold. So please, again, remember, none of this is certain, right? This is what the GPO would like, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen. Here were our goals. The first round, as you remember, we got very, very few security proposals. This was a major effort to try to get the security research community deeply engaged, and I think we succeeded at that. We wanted experiment workflow tools. We wanted instrumentation and measurement, a pretty heavy emphasis on that. We wanted to fund early shakedown experiments so people could actually try using this stuff and see what they liked and what they didn't. Federation of clearinghouses, and then you need to augment the system the system integration efforts, right? Because more stuff is entering, it gets harder to integrate. Okay, you won't be able to read this unless you have really good eyes on the screen, but you can download it later. This is kind of a rough categorization of how we received, what kinds of proposals we received. I would recommend, just kind of look at the big thing in the upper right corner. So the security proposals were great, on target. We got really, really good security proposals, excellent coverage. Ditto workflow, ditto instrumentation, and we did not do real well on getting great early shakedown experiments. That's something you really need for spiral development, right? You've got to actually try this stuff and see what works and what doesn't. So we've got to work harder on, the GPO has to work harder on getting more experiments up and running. This is the kind of stuff that we would like to fund. Again, this is what we selected. It may be funded, it may not. But we'd like to fund a fair amount of security work, quite a bit of instrumentation and measurement, and workflow tools, because those are kind of the user interfaces for researchers. That's going to be really, really important that people can actually try using this stuff. Early experiments, we funded kind of as much as we could out of the early experiments. Integration and federation, we would like to fund some of the international efforts. It's too early to say if that's possible or not, so stay tuned until we actually know. And then there were some very interesting additional kinds of aggregates, additional technologies that are in here as well. Our analysis of this, and we actually did a pretty comprehensive analysis, is so those kind of critical things that were missing in Genie, we now have pretty good coverage of with this additional work. And there's going to be kind of jump-starting international federation with some of the leading research teams in Europe, Japan, South Korea, and Brazil quite soon, again, if this is funded, right? But there's some pretty good ideas there on the kinds of collaborations people could be doing. We want to start this soon because we think it's going to take a very long time to get it working right. So this is a hard problem, you know, let's get started. We are very, very interested in augmenting Genie with substantial cloud computing facilities. I think if anyone thinks about kind of what is, you know, the future of the internet or what is the present of the internet, cloud computing plays a very large role. And we got some great proposals in that area. Finally, we think this will mesh pretty smoothly into the clusters already stood up in Spiral 1. Okay, now I'd like to go through, and this is, again, it's going to be hard to read, but this is kind of on the left, you're seeing the existing projects in a cluster, and on the right, what would get added in Spiral 2 if this is funded. Okay, again, this is very hypothetical. TIDE has an emphasis on security. It would add another security, kind of an overarching security piece to the TIDE story. Planet Lab is augmented with several different security programs, experiment and workflow tools, if you read down, some instrumentation. Kind of a major piece is adding cloud computing into the Planet Lab world with OpenCirrus. Protogenie, again, would be augmented with quite a few security efforts, workflow tools, some actual early trial experimentation, quite a bit of instrumentation, and then a couple new kinds of aggregates. And Orca, again, security, they too have a very interesting cloud proposal. This is Amazon EC2 in the Orca framework. Instrumentation and measurement, and again, some new kinds of aggregates and underlying technologies to exploit. Finally, Orbit is augmented with security and the earliest version of programmable radios in Genie. So I don't expect you to kind of digest this all at once, but if you're interested, you know, the slides will be up on the wiki site in short order. Okay, when you lay this all down, this is kind of how it looks for what's kind of the emerging Spiral 2 national footprint. Most of these things are on or near the two national research backbones. Some of them are not. You know, those of you who are in the trenches know that there's a great deal of tunneling going on right now to get things tied together. But the goal is to get it really locked in at layer 2. Okay, how is this going to work? Well, I remind you yet again, this is our proposal. It may or may not happen. Obviously, we certainly hope it happens. We would like, you know, if possible, for this new work to start up in September of this year. What's going to happen if, you know, between now and then is if we get funded, then we will turn around and we will begin negotiations with these various subcontracts, just very similar to what we did last year. Last year, the IPR, the intellectual property rights discussions, went very slowly with most of the universities. This year, we actually got the contracts people to have to write a letter in your proposal. So thank you for getting those letters written. We're hoping that will shave several months off the intellectual property rights arguments that we're going to conduct with them. We expect these new projects to begin to integrate in during Spiral 2. And this is, I believe, not going to be terrifically disruptive to most of the projects in Spiral 2, but it might be. It is certainly going to, you know, cause effort for the control frameworks themselves. They know this is coming because they co-signed, you know, they wrote letters of support for these proposals, and we are proposing additional funding for the clusters to actually be able to handle this additional work. So there is going to be some work there, but hopefully there's enough funding to actually make it happen. Okay, now I'd like to go on to what I call mesoscale prototyping. This, too, is something that we would like to have happen. We have a proposal into NSF. This actually bubbled up out of you guys. So this was not a GPO concept, but this was actually coming up out of some of the researching and prototyping teams. Personally, I find it extremely exciting. So the notion is this, that a number of projects are now what, you know, I made up this term, kind of fast-track projects, that they're prototypes, they're running on commercial hardware that is solid enough so you could begin to replicate it and try it at multiple campuses. All right? It's a prototype. This is not production equipment. But on the other hand, it's not graduate students, you know, wiring boards together. This is actual commercial equipment that's been Genie-enabled that we can begin to replicate at various places and try experiments on this kind of somewhat larger scale than has been possible previously. So in particular, more than a dozen campuses are interested in being in this next round of mesoscale prototyping. And generally, in almost every one of them, have direct engagements of the campus infrastructure people, the CIOs, the CTOs, and so on. Now, we think this is a very, very interesting thing to do. Because if you're interested in network science and engineering experiments, this notion first of getting sufficient scale so that you're actually talking about networks rather than one computer in a lab, you're talking about a dozen campuses as part of your experiments. And you're actually starting to kind of reach out and grow through campuses, which is where people are, right? So the internet is clearly not just routing protocols and so on, but it's got large numbers of people in it. So if you're going to be doing experimentation, network science and engineering experimentation, it really should engage real people. Well, where are those people? The easiest people to get at are students in campuses. So if we can Genie-enable some campuses, then we can start getting real people engaged in these experiments. And finally, from the GPO perspective, we're very, very interested in having an academic industrial base. We would like the industrial companies to make Genie-enabled equipment so that you can just buy it, rather than have everything always be special or one-off. This is a key goal for us. If you look at the first round of what we propose, I think it's 13 campuses, but that didn't sound so good, so I wrote more than a dozen leading U.S. universities. I can't count this quickly, but a number of them have WiMAX coverage, which is kind of a researcher's version of cellular coverage, right? Completely open, research-enabled cellular-like systems. A bunch of them have OpenFlow, and some have both. Okay, so OpenFlow would go through the campuses. WiMAX starts giving you kind of cellular-like coverage over these campuses. Let me go through these very quickly. Again, these are proposals that came out of the community. We were just on the receiving end of these, but we thought these were really, really neat proposals. So one of them, Ray Chowdhury at WinLab at Rutgers, was leading an effort of all these places to install NEC WiMAX base stations in a number of these campuses. So this shows exactly where. And this, he has been working under Genie to create an open virtualized WiMAX base station that researchers can put their own code in and actually run, in essence, a virtualized, you know, you do it cellular system. Could be IP, doesn't have to be IP. Under Stanford's lead, they rounded up a bunch of campuses. to try to build out OpenFlow through their campuses. And for those of you who have been following OpenFlow, this is a technology that allows virtualized production networks. So it's a way that you can take networks and say, open them up to research. You say, these parts of the network are going to be used for production traffic, but these other parts of the same network are going to be used for research experiments. And this is ideal going forward if you want to build out Genie. Right? You would like to have production systems that also are opened up for research. We also propose building out OpenFlow, actually a rather thin build out of OpenFlow, through both national backbones, through NLR plus through Internet 2. So putting most of the effort actually into the campuses, but then having enough in the backbone so that you actually have virtualized controllable backbones that are Genie compatible. Here are their current equipment plans. You will see there's lots of different kinds of equipment that the OpenFlow people are thinking of, from Arista switches, which have, you know, have their own appeal, through Cisco, HP ProCurves, Juniper Services routers, and NEC switches. So there's a wide range of industrial equipment that we hope will become Genie-enabled. Now, there is risk in this, right? Some of it may or may not work. But this is a path that we think is a very good path to have industrial equipment that you can just buy that is Genie-enabled. Okay, the final one of these projects is to install what is called ShadowNet. This is the name used by the proposers. ShadowNet, which are programmable Juniper routers, commercial programmable Juniper routers, with a very, very good instrumentation platform provided by AT&T. And we like this not just because of the Juniper routers, which are in there, but we also like the fact that a service provider has a really good instrumentation package, and they're beginning to participate in Genie, so that we get service provider level instrumentation as early as possible into Genie. Okay, given all that, Spiral 2. So what is going to happen kind of next year? All right, this is my take. This is kind of the GPO, you know, giving a proposal to you. Here's what I think the major goal of Spiral 2 is. The clusters should be running a significant number of real experiments. You can't do spiral development unless you have users. Right, you have to have researchers who are trying this stuff and shaking it and saying, well, we do like this, but this stuff we're never going to use. So this has got to be the overarching goal in Spiral 2, is get those early experiments up and running. It's going to be rough in the early days, but, you know, we got to do it. One of the key things that's going to be really difficult, I mean, user interfaces are going to be hard. This stuff is going to have to be operational to some extent, you know, 90%. Who knows what? But, you know, if you're never available, nobody's going to run an experiment on your stuff, right? So all this is actually very hard. But I think this is what we've really got to do in that next year, starting October 1st, going for a year. Because this is the key thing. Real, significant, substantial experiments must be running. And, oh, by the way, kind of in the background, you know, all this hammering is coming from the next room over. We understand very well the current prototypes are very shaky, right? People are really lashing stuff together. So you got to continue to kind of make that work, integrate it, tighten it up, you know, make the things fit. We are very interested, the GPO is very interested in increasing the interoperability between clusters. We don't want to have these balkanized that, you know, a project in this cluster will never, ever interoperate with a project in that cluster. Now, we leave it to you as to what's the best way to increase this interoperability. But we really don't want to start, you know, setting this stuff in concrete, this cluster, that cluster. Maybe you can do it through federating clusters. Maybe it's an open interface in certain places. You know, that's for you guys to decide how to do this, but I think it's an important goal. Obviously, instrumentation, measurement, data storages, analysis tools, those are key goals. And we are proposing identity management is an extremely important thing as you start to move towards having substantial user bases, a number of researchers trying to use this. We are not experts in identity management systems, but we believe Shibboleth is a good starting point. We know very well that other people believe it is not a good starting point, but we're just kind of throwing that out. How about if we start with Shibboleth? Now we would like the community to come to a conclusion and try to figure out how we're going to manage identity in these systems. Okay, so what does this mean for you? We've actually started detailed milestone discussions for clusters as a whole and for every group. So we kind of threw over the wall, here's some suggestions from us as to what would be reasonable Spiral 2 goals and milestones. But now we expect you to come back saying, no, forget that, forget everything we said last year. Knowing what we know now, here is what we believe are reasonable Spiral 2 milestones. And we've already started that discussion. That will be going on over this summer. I'm sure, you know, most people in this room, you know, really don't understand how all these parts fit together, right? I mean, there's a lot of parts here. My advice is don't panic, right? You don't have to understand how every part fits with every other part. You don't have to solve every problem in the known universe. What you have to do is make your part of it be as good as possible, right? I mean, it's interesting what's going on in the other parts, but when push comes to shove, if you can make your part work, this will all turn out okay. And if you're just joining Genie, well, you know, welcome. This is kind of what it's like. The GPO will, exactly, only more so. The GPO will work pretty closely with you to try to help get you lined up and figured out what a cluster is and what you're supposed to do and so on. So don't panic too much. And there is getting to be quite a learning curve here. This is getting to be a pretty substantial project. Again, the bottom line is you should be thinking as a group, how can I get other people to be using my stuff? Right? How can I get people to run research experiments that incorporate my stuff? Because in the next couple of years, we're going to build more of what's used and less of what's not used. So this is the time to find all your old friends and get them to start using your stuff. If you want to get your campus involved, if you think you would be kind of a next good growth opportunity after this first dozen, please talk to the GPO. We are actively engaging CIOs at a number of campuses. And so we would be very glad to come talk to your CIO or CTO or what have you about how to do this. If you want to get your work integrated into Genie, talk to the project PIs. Talk to other PIs, in particular the cluster head PIs, the cluster leader PIs, or talk to the GPO. We'll introduce you to the people. Right, but that's going to be your path to do it. You don't have to integrate with all of Genie. You have to integrate right now with a cluster, and we'll help make those introductions. Ditto, we are very, very interested in companies becoming involved. And we don't profess any great wisdom about how to do this, but please, if you are part of an industrial company, come talk to us if you're interested, and we will try to have a back and forth about what makes the most sense. And, of course, international collaborations. Now you can see it's starting to be the time when there really is a there in Genie. And so we will be very glad to help facilitate, you know, researcher-to-researcher collaborations. Okay, here's my kind of summary. So from the GPO perspective, Spiral 1 is looking like a real success, right? It was not at all obvious that you could have a control framework that controlled a wide variety of stuff, or that you could have end-to-end virtualization. But several clusters are already demonstrating that. Right? There's still a couple months, and so I think other clusters may also demonstrate that before the end of Spiral 1. But we're seeing several that are clearly doing it. Spiral 2 is obviously going to be very challenging. Some things will succeed, other things will fail. I mean, that's just a given, right? Not everything is going to succeed in this, but I think this is a very large opportunity for the community. And I would like to emphasize, this kind of came out of your proposals. This was not a GPO thing, right? So some of you, you know, I hope are beginning to think, well, I have a good idea too. Okay, so there is a very large opportunity here, and I recommend that you take advantage of it. But the absolute most important thing, it's always fun to build things. The most important thing is to get real research experiments running as soon as possible. Right? That is the overall goal, period. Okay, well, I think it's going to be kind of a wild ride, but the Genie project is now really underway. Right? The NETSI research agenda is looking spectacular. The infrastructure portion is really beginning to get traction, so I think now it's really beginning. Okay, thank you very much. I propose we introduce the next speaker, who is Vint Cerf, Chief Internet Evangelist at Google, which is a company you've probably heard of. But Vint, I believe, if I've got this story correctly, invented TCP/IP kind of in his first year as untenured faculty at about age 30, for those of you who do not yet have tenure in the audience. And I, which I think is a fraction of the audience. So if you've got a year or two before age 30, you know, now's the time to invent TCP/IP. And then I believe, more or less, as I understand it, mandated it in the United States by age 40. He actually entered DARPA and the government and kind of required use of TCP/IP, and that seemed to do the trick, actually. So that was a very nice scheme. My own take, and this is kind of personal, is not everybody in the world invents the internet or the internet protocols, but I have always found Vint to be a very wise, modest, and humane person, which I think is a very big deal. And I think he should be a role model, basically, to all of us. So without further ado, thank you, Vint.